Well, dear friends, I greet you in Jesus' name. Of the newer Christmas carols, one of my favorites is called Mary, Did You Know? It's a song that has been featured in recent years by our Children's Sunday School Christmas program, and it always captures my attention. Here are some of the lyrics. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? That he would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, and the dumb will speak? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? That he will one day rule the nations? Did you know? The child you're holding is the great I Am. Powerful song. But of course, the question, did you know, is merely rhetorical, because Mary didn't know these things. She may have wondered in some vague fashion what it would mean to raise the Son of God, because that she knew. But the details? She couldn't know. No one told her. All she knew is basically what you and I have heard today from our scripture reading. But you know what? Mary heard God's word and trusted him. Mary is a model of faith. Mary is an important figure in the New Testament, and I would say an even greater figure in Christian history. And there's something wrong with that statement. Mary is featured prominently throughout Scripture from the time of Gabriel's appearance, which we heard this morning, up until the time of Jesus' death. But church history has made a much greater to-do about Mary than Scripture does itself. So why is Mary important? Well, not because she is somehow more holy than anybody else. Scripture says nothing about the circumstances of her birth, nor does it say that we should pray to her. In fact, Scripture is pretty clear about praying to God alone. She's not part of the Godhead. I mean, after all, we believe in a Trinity, right? Three persons, one God, not four persons like a quantity. And yet she has been placed far above other mortals in some parts of church tradition. So much so that in the 7th century, when Muhammad the prophet approached the church seeking the truth, he came away with a big misunderstanding. He thought that Christians worshipped three gods, not one, and that they were the Father, the Son, and the Mother. This did not strike Muhammad as being the truth, in part that he was convinced that there was only one God. He was monotheistic. And so he took his search elsewhere. And sometimes I wonder, what would the world look like today if Muhammad had been given a clear witness of the truth? In so many ways, the church today bears a heavy burden because the witness given to Muhammad and to many, many others was skewed on the position of Mary. The Bible doesn't show Mary as being more holy or more important than anyone else, nor does her importance lie in being a model mother or woman. Although that could certainly be argued. I mean, there's a lot to commend her, right? She did raise the Son of God, after all, and he turned out pretty good. She raised other children, too. However, Scripture says almost nothing about her child-rearing techniques, other than the glimpse that we are given when Jesus was 12 and stayed behind in Jerusalem. We just don't know that much about Mary as a mother. Nor do we know much about her as a woman, like whether or not she was a leader or anything else. What we do know is that she persevered in a very difficult situation. She was an unwed mother. Joseph nearly divorced her, and yet she didn't give up. That takes a strong woman, especially at that time. But while Mary was likely a remarkable woman and mother, that is not why we remember her. That's not why she is important. Scripture speaks for itself. It sets the record straight. Mary is important simply because she trusted God's word and obeyed it. She is a model of faith. The gospel writer Luke takes pains to point this out. Take a look at our text again. Luke calls Mary favored and in other places blessed, and she was. But Luke shows us quite plainly that Mary was blessed not because she would be Jesus' mother, but because she believed. If you keep on reading in Luke 1, you will find that Mary's next step was to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard her greeting, she was filled by the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And one of the things she said is this: "Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary believed the word of the angel with a simple, childlike faith. She accepted it as truth without trying to pin down every detail. She said simply, "Let it be to me as you have said." Now, it was not likely that Mary was highly educated. That was a privilege that was given mostly to boys at that time. We do know that she was familiar with the Old Testament because of what she said to Elizabeth at that visit. Mary tells of God's almighty deeds, of his faithfulness to Abraham and to the nation of Israel. But Mary was not a biblical scholar. I mean, let's face it, no one carried around a pocket Bible in those days. So Mary's importance was not based on how much she knew. It's not what you know, but whom you trust that counts. Mary believed God. It was a simple, childlike faith, the kind of faith that is accessible to all Christians, young or old, rich or poor, educated or not. Mary was the kind of faith-filled person that not only believed but also put God's word into practice. When Luke mentions Mary in later chapters, he makes this point. In chapter 8, Jesus is out preaching when his mother and brothers try to see him. And Jesus says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Again, in chapter 11, Jesus is out preaching when a woman in the crowd calls out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Jesus counters with this: "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Jesus defines his family as those who hear God's word, believe it, and put it into practice. This is what makes Mary important. Not that she was in any way more holy than any other mortal, not that she was a model mother or woman, but rather that she trusted in God's word. She believed it, accepted it, and put herself into God's hands to be used by him. Mary is a model of faith for all Christians. In your own life, you may be able to connect with Mary in several ways. First, she believed in the midst of uncertainty and trouble. The angel delivered some shocking news, news that disrupted her world and caused her a great deal of trouble. As an unwed mother, she could have been shamed in her community. She could even have been stoned to death. God put her in a very awkward, if not dangerous, situation. But she never accused God of being unfair. Nor did she allow these difficulties to keep her inside, hiding, shaking in her boots. She didn't panic. Instead, she did what she could do, traveling to visit her cousin Elizabeth, also pregnant under impossible conditions. Think of it. Luke tells us that Elizabeth was barren, and now she was old, past the age of pregnancy. And yet, she conceived, just as the angel had prophesied to her husband. At the time of Mary's visit, Elizabeth had entered her third trimester. The impossible had visibly become possible. Mary's faith had to have been strengthened by that. She saw with her own eyes that God keeps his word and that he is able to bring new life where no life is possible. Faith wouldn't be faith if it functioned only in safe, comfortable, and predictable situations. In Hebrews 11:1, we read, "Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Mary models for us the kind of trust that operates when the going gets rough. Second, Mary is a model for faith because she took a humble position of a servant. When the angel had explained everything to her, she simply responded, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." God honors the humble. And when you stop to think about it, it's the only reasonable position that we can take before the Almighty God. The unexpected appearance of an angel was probably terrifying. The angel had to reassure her, "Don't be afraid." Mary was confused and even troubled by the angel's words. But despite her fear and confusion, Mary just listened to the angel and only asked one question: "How can this be since I am a virgin?" She didn't challenge the angel, nor did she question God's call. She simply asked for clarification. And once given an answer, she accepted that call with humility. I wonder how a modern-day teenager would respond. How would I respond? Numerous questions? Reasons why this just wouldn't work? Perhaps a defiant, "No way," thinking, "Really, what is God thinking?" But that's not the way Mary responded. She might certainly have wondered about some potential problems, but she voiced only faith. "I am your servant," she said. Servanthood is not highly touted these days, and yet it is one of those traits most valued by God. You can hear pride in his voice when he says, "This is my servant." And that's what he called the great men of the Bible: Abraham, Moses, David. And at the end of the day, Mary's son became the prime example of servanthood, giving his life so that you and I might gain ours. Like his mother, Jesus said, "Your will be done." Mary modeled a faith that trusted God in difficult times. She modeled servanthood, whatever the cost. And finally, Mary modeled a faith because she took one step at a time. Despite the enormity of the task God had given her, she simply did what was in front of her to do. And in her case, it was to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth. Perhaps you have been in a situation where the task you are given seems overwhelming. Mary was chosen to be the mother of God's son, the Messiah. A rather overwhelming task. She was just a young girl, one who lived simply. She had no knowledge of a world any bigger than her own little village. How could she possibly rear her son in such a way that he would one day be able to rule all nations? Impossible. But Mary simply accepted the task and went to visit Elizabeth. From her, you and I can learn to just take the first step. Do what is in front of you to do, and do it in your own way. Give your fear over to God. His shoulders are quite broad. Recognize that God will fulfill his will. You don't need to do it for him. As a Christian, you follow Jesus. You take up your cross. You put him first. It's an enormous task when you stop to think of it. How can you know what this means? How can you see it through to the end? You could be paralyzed by these questions and never take the first step. Mary is your model. When you are called, give yourself over to his word in trust. Simply be willing to be used by him, and he will show you the rest, step by step. I'd like to finish with a modern-day parable. Henry Nouwen tells about a family of trapeze artists in his book Sabbatical Journeys. Nouwen was impressed by the special relationship that trapeze artists have for each other while they are performing. He had some friends called the Flying Rodellas, and they described to him what goes on between the flyer and the catcher. They told Nouwen that the flyer is the one who lets go, and the catcher is the one who catches. As the flyer swings high above the crowd on the trapeze, the moment comes when he must let go. He arcs out into the air, and then his job is to be as still as possible and wait for the strong arms of the catcher to pluck him from the air. One of the Rudellas told Nouwen, the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him. But for the catcher to be able to do that, the flyer must let go and completely trust that he will be caught. Mary trusted. She let go, knowing that God's strong hands would catch her. She is a model of faith. Hearing God's word, she believed. She offered herself to God as his servant. She took one step at a time, believing that God would accomplish his will. And God called her favored one, blessed. It's the title he gives to all of those who trust in him. Amen.